Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Troy Weaver is gone. The Pistons have parted ways with their longtime general manager as Trajan Langdon officially takes over as the team's new president of basketball operations. What's next for him, the front office, and Monty Williams and the coaching staff? We talk about all that and more on this special edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting night of NBA basketball.
The Pistons are digging in. They got the depth. They got the big men. They got the better basketball team. No doubt about it.
Pistons need a three, and they have just under 3 seconds to do it. Here's Chauncey Phillips. Here it is. He's got it. He's got it. Chauncey Phillips hits the three. Overtime. Amazing.
On a bounce.
Pistons fans, welcome back to another special edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast. Back-to-back weeks with a bonus episode. We figured the news was coming. We knew we weren't going to be able to get it in with our standard recording time. But the Pistons and Troy Weaver have officially parted ways. And with me to talk about it is Jasper Apollonia. Were you on the podcast the other day? I don't even remember. Time moves so quickly. I think we were all there. But Jasper, Troy Weaver's gone. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how quickly Trajan Langdon has come in and made moves with the Pistons. But before we do that, I did want to give a quick word to our sponsor, our good friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline is the number one source for all of the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Don't forget to use our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Quick shout out as well to our Substack. Please give a look over there at palaceofpistons.com. It'll be in the show description wherever you're watching or listening from. Palaceofpistons.com. I'm going to go in there, hit in your email, subscribe for free, get all of our content directly to your email inbox as soon as we post it. I just had a piece come out earlier this week on Donovan Klingon. We also talked about on the weekly scheduled podcast that came out on Friday morning, but I had a piece on him just kind of looking at his strengths, his weaknesses, and his fit with the Pistons. So definitely go give a look at that. I know we had some very strong opinions in the comments section when we talked about on the podcast drafting Klingon and maybe trading away Jalen Duren from the Pistons. If you haven't went and listened to our normal weekly scheduled show, go check that out after you finish listening or watching this one. All right, Jasper, let's not waste any more time. Let's get into it. Troy Weaver out as the Pistons general manager. As soon as the team officially announced that Trajan Langdon would be the team's new president of basketball operations, I guess this was what was expected to happen, right?
100%. There's a reason we warned our listeners, hey, there's a good chance you're going to be hearing from us in a special podcast before next week's scheduled one, because look, this has been a long time coming. It's been coming since mid-November when the Pistons went on that historic losing streak. I don't think there was any question in our minds that Troy Weaver was not going to be here, especially after the president of basketball operations search was announced. It just seemed like a completely untenable situation for him to continue on. Yeah, did we have the editor queue up Cool in the Gang celebration for this one? Because I think it's appropriate. That's a deep cut for you folks listening at home. I just think that this was such a necessary move, and I don't think you're going to get really much pushback. I'm sure there's a couple people who are like, oh, Troy should have gotten another year, but let's be honest, it was not working. The Pistons had backslid. Their record was worse 3 of the previous 4 years than it was the year before that. So it's just like, this had to happen. We will see what happens when it comes to Monty Williams. I think the fact that Troy Weaver was immediately let go and Monty was not, I think you can read into that how you will, but that's a different discussion for a different day. As of right now, Troy Weaver is out.
Early as next, beginning of next week, potentially.
Yeah, we might be coming on here for yet another special podcast. And we can discuss what we think that maybe means for him. But as of right now, Troy Weaver is out. Trajan Langdon apparently is already looking at other candidates, primarily from within the Pelicans' own organization. I believe his name's Will Blackstone. Is that the name? I'm sorry?
Michael Blackstone. So yeah,
that Michael was Blackstone.
By Shams and James Edwards, a 30 of the Athletic, who initially broke the story that the Pistons and Weaver were parting ways. It also mentioned in the story that the Pistons are very close to naming the Pelicans vice president of basketball administration, Michael Blackstone, to a very high up role within the Pistons organization as well. So, and this was something that I alluded to right when the Langdon news broke out, like who's coming with him from the Pelicans. I think the pipe dream was that he'd bring along Bryson Graham with him. But it seems like Bryson Graham is about to step into the general manager role over in New Orleans, where he's been for 10 plus years. So it probably just makes sense for him to continue to climb the ladder in that organization. But he brings over Michael Blackstone, who was a key player in a lot of negotiations that they had in terms of player contracts, player extensions. The Pelicans are very much respected for how they have created some very interesting contracts with some of their key players on the roster. So Blackstone played an integral role in that area. So I think that makes him a nice addition alongside Langdon. And that's what's nice about bringing in a guy like Langdon, who has already been with the team for a while, has connections across the NBA, like especially with the timeline that the Pistons are on, where they have to move quickly here to get certain things in place as we get closer to the draft and right after that free agency. Like, you don't want your president of basketball operations spending weeks and weeks trying to build out his staff when you're drafting in less than a month and you have a top 5 pick in that draft. So for him to already have the ball rolling on this is certainly a good indicator of how quickly the Pistons intend to move here. But I like the start from Langdon, and it just made sense to move on from Weaver. Edwards and Shams also reported that Weaver was offered a much smaller role with the organization, an offsite scouting role with the team, but Weaver declined that position. Look, I think that made all the sense in the world. I get the Pistons, you know, trying to, I guess be nice in a way and still offer him employment in a sense, but very hard to take a step down, and not just a step, but going down a couple flights of stairs in the ivory tower is what that would have been for Troy Weaver. So it makes sense for him to decline that role, even if he ends up in a smaller role in another organization. It just makes sense for him to move on from the organization that wanted to move on from him.
Yeah, we even discussed the possibility of that happening a few podcasts ago, where it was like, well, maybe they don't fire Weaver. They just offer him a much, much lesser position. And he goes, no, thanks. I'm good. That's exactly what happened. I know some people are going to look at the Blackstone potential hiring. I don't think it's official yet, but it's 99.9% sure going to happen. A lot of people will look at that and they'll go, oh, wait, is Trajan Langdon just going to take over the guys he knows from New Orleans and just operate like that? Duh, obviously. We have talked about how crucial it is for the Pistons to move forward quickly. And exactly how much work is ahead of Trajan Langdon. So I think it makes all the sense of the world for him to bring over guys that he already knows, he already trusts, he's already been working with, guys who he has presumably been looking at this draft class with, has been looking at potential trades around the league with. When you have this much work in front of you, you can't waste any time trying to put together a completely new staff. No, you have to operate quickly and you need to operate with the knowledge that you already have at your disposal. So for me, it was kind of a no-brainer that he'd be bringing over a couple guys from the Pelicans. Would have been nice if it was Graham too, but you completely understand why he would stay in New Orleans, except that GM position. You know, he gets bumped up the ladder. So I think for me, this was just like, everything that's happened so far has been kind of obvious, which is why this is an emergency podcast that we're going to be keeping on the shorter side and not being like, oh my God, can you believe this happened? Like, no, everything that has happened so far makes a whole lot of sense. And Aaron, I think this might be a good time for us to get to Tom Gorris's comments, because Trajan Langdon obviously did not hire himself. There is still one man above him, one man that cannot be fired from the Pistons, as much as some of us might like that to be the case. And I thought Tom Gorris's comments on the hiring of Langdon were incredibly telling. I'm just quickly going to go through them because it wasn't too much. Tom Gorris said, "I've committed to building a front office in Detroit that brings together the most advanced capabilities and creative basketball minds. Trajan is an accomplished front office executive," which is true, "with an impressive track record. He's worked his way up and seen it all as a player, scout, and executive. He's been successful at every level. I'm confident he will very swiftly get us to the standard of excellence I expect from every business." He continued on, "What was important to me was finding someone who was a hands-on leader and effective communicator that could connect with people, motivate our front office, and deliver results. I knew Trajan was universally praised and respected around the league, but as I spent time with him, he articulated a thoughtful, detailed plan to create a culture of winning and getting the best out of the talented people we have in our organization." I think there were some very telling quotes within there, Aaron, and you might have, you know what I mean? I think we're in perfect agreement on this. First thing, Tom Gorris saying, "I'm confident he will very swiftly get us to the standard of excellence I expect from every business." To me, that tells me I tried the tanking crap. I didn't like it. I'm going back to how I was before. That was a lot more fun.
Yeah, well, I think that was probably Troy Weaver's biggest downfall in terms of losing the echelon that he was held to, that high regard he was held to by Pistons fans and seemingly the Pistons executives was, I mean, to put it bluntly, he just sat on his hands too much. You go back to last summer and the complete lack of action that the Pistons took after winning 17 games was completely mind-numbing. It made no sense. And the lack of activity that he's taken doesn't just date back to last year. I mean, we seemingly heard it every year he was the team's GM that this upcoming offseason is going to be really, really big for the Pistons. They plan on making some major moves, taking some bigger swings. And it just never happened. I mean, I tweeted this early on Saturday morning, or maybe it was yesterday. I don't even remember because, again, time is moving so quickly right now. But I tweeted that I remember when the Pistons extended Troy Weaver right at the end of 2022. It was literally like the last week of December. They signed him to that contract extension. And I remember coming on this podcast and going online and saying, look, I'm not saying he's an abject failure. I'm just thinking this might have been a little bit too soon to rush into extending him when he's not really done anything extraordinary yet. And I got ambushed for having that opinion because everyone had Troy Weaver on this pedestal as this GM that was, you know, going to come in and restore, as he quite famously, proclaimed he was going to restore the Pistons, and it wasn't happening. And the Pistons just seemingly gave him an extension for really no reason at all. I mean, I don't know what he had done at that point that made you think everything was heading in this great, great direction. But I remember getting ambushed for that. And now we're sitting here and we're looking back at everything and we're looking at all the inactivity and the lack of moves and the lack of aggressiveness that we saw with that front office regime. And we're kind of kicking ourselves for being like, why'd this take so long to get rid of him in the first place?
Sorry, real quick. I was going to say, look, Troy Weaver as GM reminded me a lot of watching Spencer Torkelson play baseball for the Tigers. Like, you see some good swings, hits a couple homers, and you're like, okay. But 80% of the time, he's getting struck out swinging. Like, that's kind of how it felt. And it's year three, and you're just like, time's a ticking, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, we need to see some aggressiveness. If you're going to go out, you need to go out swinging. And unfortunately, Troy Weaver kept his powder barrel dry. And it was a real shame to see him spend 4 years basically spinning his wheels with the likes of Josh Jackson and Hamidou Diallo. I mean, really, Aaron, when you look back at it, what was his most impactful move?
Right.
Bojan Bogdanovic trading for Simone Fontecchio. Like, if you take out the draft picks out of the equation, and even then you can look at his second round record. When did the guy ever take a real swing at a potentially impact player in the second round? Never.
That was one of my biggest frustrations with Weaver was the draft and stashes that were obviously never going to come over and contribute. It was, you know, drafting someone like Luca Garza, who, I don't know, I think he has an ability to maybe give you some minutes down the line in the NBA. I mean, he's played in some blowouts with the Wolves. He had some numbers with the Pistons every once in a while, but they just kind of didn't do anything with him. The drafting of Balza Koprivica, the drafting of Gabriele Procida, like these guys that were never coming over, were never going to contribute to this team. I mean, was Procida not like a top 40 pick? Like, he was not like a 50th pick or a 55th pick. Like, he was like a early to mid second round pick, a pick that probably still has some value. And it was just spent on a guy that was never going to contribute to this team. Meanwhile, you look at the roster that the Pistons would trot out every night, and you'd be like, especially this past year, there are 6 to 8 guys that should not be in the NBA getting rotation minutes or on the roster right now. And when you have that lack of aggressiveness to put together a competent team, I don't see how you can get a contract extension. I don't see how you can keep your position of power. I don't see how you can keep your job. So look, the writing was on the wall with Troy Weaver from day one,
his first move was to trade away Bruce Brown for nothing.
For nothing. For nothing. For
absolutely nothing. And at the time, I think we all looked at it and we went, that's kind of weird, but like, he maybe wants to make his own team, his own identity. And now you look back and you just go, oh, this was totally indicative of how this entire, I mean, look, that was maybe actually his most impactful move, was trading away Bruce Brown for nothing, because Bruce Brown was a crucial contributor on a title contender.
Was trading there. Sekou Doumbouya, you know, right away, was that necessary? Like, I'm not saying he would have turned into this meaningful NBA player, probably doesn't, but it's like, you look at the guys that he brought in and gave chances to and committed money to, James Wiseman, Marvin Bagley, these other guys that were on the end of the roster, your Malachi Flynn's of the world, whatever. And it's like, there was this really quick decision to get rid of a young first round pick from this team. And it was just like, I just, there was never really a plan. Like, the first round draft picks, we were all after the 2020 draft, but all of the picks after that, the Cade draft, the Ivy Dern draft, like, that all seemed like smart decisions. Cade was the obvious pick. Ivy was the obvious pick. Getting the first rounder to get Jalen Dern was a good move. But it's like, there was nothing done that was like, oh my gosh, look at him go out and make these moves that are winning moves by a front office. It was just, let me give a chance to this young player that never panned out. Let me give a chance to this young player that never panned out. And the asset management was a complete disaster. Let's move on.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
For those who embrace the impossible, the Defender 110 is up for the adventure. This iconic vehicle has been redefined with a modern design that lets you go further and do more. The exterior is reimagined with compelling proportions and precise detailing, complemented by an interior built with integrity. The Defender capability is legendary. Whether you're facing off-road challenges or harsh weather conditions, its durability has been tested to the extreme. Powerful innovations like the intuitive driver display and award-winning infotainment system keep you connected. Innovative camera technologies deliver unobstructed views and effortless maneuvering. And robust cargo capacity means more room for your gear. Ready for a wide range of adventures, the Defender family features the two-door Defender 90, the Defender 110, and the Defender 130, which seats up to 8. To drive the Defender is to explore with greater confidence. Push what's possible with a vehicle made to go further. The Defender 110. Learn more at LandRoverUSA.com/Defender.
Hey, go-getters. Let Noom Sport Hydration Tablets power up your fun and keep you ready to move. Simply drop, dissolve, and enjoy crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade or lemon lime with 5 essential electrolytes and crafted with clean, non-GMO, vegan, and gluten-free ingredients. Noom should be your go-to hydration choice because when you're hydrated, you can do more, go further, and recover quicker. Shop now on noonlife.com and get ready for endless fun because anything can happen after noon.
From Weaver here. Langdon was also talked about in the piece from The Athletic. This is something that we've obviously known, but he has the power to make key changes to the coaching staff. And if you read the piece from The Athletic, Monty Williams was not mentioned by name once in that piece. I think that's incredibly, incredibly telling. I think we might know something as early as this upcoming week on the future of Monty Williams. Jasper, are you under the impression or are you of the belief that Monty Williams is gone? Should he be given another year to try to figure this thing out in Detroit?
It's hard to say. It's really hard to say. I think Monty Williams gets one more year. And that might be surprising to you, but I think the fact that he was not let go the same day as Troy Weaver, maybe that's a respect thing. Maybe that's a, hey, we want to see what the situation is, at least sit down and talk with Monty. But I think he might get another year. That being said, I would not be surprised at all if he's gone. And part of that comes down back to what Troy Weaver said. One, he said that money is no object. Two, I want to go back to this quote where he said, what was important to me was finding someone who was a hands-on leader and effective communicator that could connect with people, motivate our front office, and deliver results. Kind of seems like that was something that was lacking from the Pistons coaching staff this year as well. We know all about Troy Weaver's mush mouth for his entirety of his career here. Monty Williams, it seemed, very much struggled with a lot of the same things. That being said, they did pay him a whole lot of money for a whole lot of years. And while I can absolutely understand the desire of Pistons fans to move on from him, I think that there is still a level of professional respect. I think there is still a level of, holy crap, that is a lot of money to pay a guy to not work for me for the next 5 years. And I just think that while now, if you ask me, do I think Monty Williams will end the year with the Pistons? That is a different question. I could see them making a coaching change during the season if things continue to go poorly. But I think as of right now, Monty Williams' job is not safe, but I think it is still there for him.
See, I'm on the opposite side. I think he's gone. I think it's a formality at this point. I think there's some things that are going to happen here soon that are going to dictate the decision. But I think he's gone. And I know it's been mentioned, the connection between Langdon and James Borrego, who was on the Pelican staff this past year. I know Borrego is highly, highly considered the favorite to end up in Cleveland. But the fact that we're starting to hear coaches' names and guys that could be an option for Detroit as their next head coach, I think that's also very, very telling. I just think the writing is on the wall here on what's going to happen. And again, I think it'll happen relatively quickly considering the timeline. Look, I think there's a world where you could give Monty another season. I think, A, because of the money you're committed to, B, because of his pedigree, his history as a coach, and C, because of the lack of stability that this organization seemingly has right now. I think you can make a case for all of those reasons as the case to give Monty Williams one more chance to try to salvage his job and to salvage his time as the Pistons head coach. But at the same time, if you look at last year, and you look at the last 2-3 years that have been wasted for the Pistons, if you're Tom Gores and you truly are committed to turning this thing around and doing so quickly, I think the right option is to wipe the slate clean, give up the dead money that you're saying that you're willing to give up, and go and find the next coach, the right coach for this team. It's not to say that Monty Williams wasn't considered to be the right coach at the time. We all thought he was. We all thought it was a great hire. But now, looking back, looking at the fact that it was really just, as you said, the money brought him back to the table after turning down the job at the first time the Pistons went to him. That should have been very, very telling. And I think if you're the Pistons and you look at what's happened under this past regime, you have to wipe the slate clean and start anew, as some of your key young players have big-time contract extensions coming up, and you either have to commit to them and commit to their continued development, or you have to find guys that they are worthy of moving for. And so I think that's another key reason, as these guys failed to develop properly under Monty Williams in his first year, as to why you need to move on from him. I truly don't even believe that Williams is a bad coach. He's had a lot of success. Hell, he took the Phoenix Suns to the championship not all that long ago. But if you come to a new place and it works as poorly as it did in Detroit in year one, you have to move on. And if Gores is willing to move on as he says he is, he's willing to give Langdon the power to make the changes that he says he has the power to, they will move on from Monty Williams here rather soon, I'd say.
I just think the difference between him and Weaver is, one, Gores was never truly sold on the tanking thing. Like, I think he did it because he felt like, this is what I have to try. I don't think it's ever been something he's wanted to do. He wanted Monty Williams. Like, that is why he went back to the table. He threw that ridiculous market resetting contract at him. I just think that with that there, it's going to be hard to convince Tom Gores to do it. Is it going to be impossible? No, not at all. Tom Gores has been talked into a lot of dumber and smarter things in the past, clearly. Like you said, like, it wasn't that long ago. He was the guy in Phoenix. There also, though, is that talk of James Borrego. For me personally, I don't love that. Like, if we do get to that point, and we can talk about it more if and when Monty Williams is let go, but James Borrego does not super move me. His teams in Charlotte were not especially fun to watch, did not make great strides on either end of the court. And I know, obviously, Charlotte is like still such a, it's just constantly in a state of dysfunction. Like, you talk about an organization that just does not work. That's like example 1A. But I don't know, going from Monty to Borrego, if I know that he's going to stagger his lineups, I'm all for it, I guess. Like, that's how I feel about it at this point. I just want a coaching staff that is going to give you the bare minimum of competency and, like, modern NBA thinking. That's really all I'm asking for. So if Monty is let go, and the way I fall on is, like, I'm 55% in the camp he stays, 45% in the camp he goes. I do really think it's a true toss-up. It's going to be interesting to see, though, how Trajan Langdon goes about that. If he's just going to talk to Monty, if he's already got his mind set up, or considering that he is a new entry into this organization, if he's going to talk to the players, if he's going to be talking to other people in the organization as well, I think it's going to be very interesting. I don't know if we're going to see all that play out in public, but I am interested to see how he comes to those decisions, because as we keep saying, this is a crucial, crucial period of time where things have to move very, very quickly.
Yeah, it will be very telling how quickly all of these decisions start to move over the next week or so. I'm expecting we'll get some more news next week. If Monty Williams is let go, I'll be curious to see what names leak out as potential candidates to replace him. As we mentioned, James Borrego, certainly a candidate. I think you'll see some other names that you've maybe seen or heard of before, even dating back to the Pistons' last coaching search when they ended up hiring Monty Williams as potential candidates to be the next head coach of this team. But that's going to do it for this bonus edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast. Wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening from, please make sure to give the show a like, follow, subscription. Leave us a comment. Tell us what you think. Are you happy that the Pistons moved on from Troy Weaver? Who do you think is going to be the team's next head coach? Do you like Michael Blackstone as coming in as a key official within the executive rankings of the Pistons front office? We want to know what you think. We love the commitment. We love the engagement. Our numbers have seen a huge rise as of late, and we so greatly, greatly appreciate that. So we hope that you're going to continue to stick along with us at Palace of Pistons for our continued coverage of the team. So thank you so much for tuning in this week, and we will see you guys next week for what will likely be another jam-packed edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus chews.